harping on wars, big fights, and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my countryman, you're walking on the fighting side of me. The guy who claims he just don't believe in fact. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count and be free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fight inside me. Yeah, walking side me, running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the fog that I keep. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song I'm singing be warned. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the right beside me.
Yes, when you run down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on whiteresistanceradio.com or altrighttv.com. Well, lots more news and news for our people. Of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in our European heartland. Well, 80-year-old perfect grandma stabbed to death by career criminal who was out on bond. And this is a story out of Houston, Texas. An elderly woman was fatally stabbed in a Walgreens parking lot Saturday by a career criminal who was out on bond. 80-year-old Rosalie Cook, she has a really sweet face there, who was widowed and lived on her own independently, had just picked up a prescription when the monster approached her in the parking lot and stabbed her in the chest. You can see him, he's just a really ugly Negro with thick lips and looks like an earring and short kinky hair. What makes me angry is this suspect stabbed an 80-year-old woman, then goes down, rifles through her stuff, and tries to steal her car. Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo said. Randy Lewis, 38, was reportedly menacing people and begging for money at a nearby grocery store before the crime. A response officer arrived shortly after the stabbing and ordered Lewis out of Cook's car. When Lewis attempted to rush the officer with the knife, he was shot twice, fatally. This is tragic, but the most tragedy here is that a woman has died from a guy who attacked her for no reason other than to steal from her and carjack her, Police Chief Acevedo said. Now, in the United States, black-on-white crime occurs far more. Interracial crime is almost entirely black-on-white. Very few whites rape blacks. Very few whites assault or kill or rob blacks, it's very much the other way around. The color of crime in the United States is overwhelmingly black or Hispanic. Blacks commit violent crimes wildly out of proportion to their share of the population. And that's just, it's just a fact. And this is part of one of the racial realities that people, some people would like to avoid because, well, you know, it kind of goes against the doctrine of equality. and it goes against the doctrine of equality, which says, well, all people are equal, so you know, whites should commit crimes in the you know, the same proportion as blacks do. You know, so if you know, if there's if blacks or whites say commit one murder per 100,000, blacks should commit one murder per 100,000. But that's not the way it is, because of course equality is nonsense. It doesn't exist. and you know, then what happens is there becomes when these when the numbers don't seem to add up, then the cultural Marxists say, well, there's got to be a reason. Well, the reason, of course, never is, well, your original premise was wrong. No, structural racism. So we're supposed to believe that somehow completely innocent blacks in huge numbers are charged with armed robbery, rape, murder, and tossed into prison, and that's why their numbers are so high. I had an interesting discussion today with a PhD in Regina, Saskatchewan, and we were discussing the fact that there is a tentative move to slightly ease the lockdown in province by province in various parts of Canada. Okay, good so far. I said, well, what will happen with the University of Regina? Do you think it will open in the fall? He says, well, yeah, definitely to online learning. Okay, so you take a university course online and you talk to the professor through video. And you can even sometimes see the other students. It's okay, but it's not the same thing as the whole university experience. So he said, well, you know, one of the concerns is on campus, you know, there's quite a concentration of people, and that's true. And he says they come from all over. People from Regina, from the rest of Saskatchewan, but from other parts of Canada, from the United States, and from abroad. And there is a concern there with that many people, many of whom are from outside that area, converging on campus. And things may change by September, but the concern is, well, they might be bringing more of the Wuhan flu. And suddenly it struck me, well, that's what diversity is, isn't it? We're always being told diversity is our greatest strength. I said that to him, and he laughed, and he laughed, and he laughed. And it's quite true. I mean, diversity is absolutely nonsense. Anyway, I thought this was really just quite remarkable. I saw something on Twitter that, you have to feel sorry for Spain. You really do. Here's an item. 700% increase in illegal African migrants, well, not migrants, they're illegals, entering Spain this year. Here's a crowd on the road. They're all wearing parkas or hoodies and scarves. Perhaps the picture was taken a little earlier in the year. Here it is. Uh, 700% increase. Spain is rapidly becoming a popular destination for African illegals hoping to enter the European Union. Although the usual route African migrants attempt to take is through Italy or Malta, recent activity shows that Spain is beginning to receive more migrants than ever before. Over the past several months, Italy and Malta have closed their ports to illegal migrants as a result of the Wuhan flu, which makes them much less tempting targets than they were before. Ships operating by pro-illegal NGOs have also reduced their operations in the Mediterranean of late, which further hampers their efforts. To attempt to reach Spain as an alternative, the illegals depart from Western Africa and cross the Atlantic, hoping to reach the Canary Islands, an autonomous region that's under Spanish jurisdiction. At its closest point, the Canaries are only 100 kilometers, which would be about 60 miles west from the coast of Morocco. The route is more dangerous than the Mediterranean, however, because the Atlantic Ocean tends to be considerably rougher. More than 50 Africans were intercepted on Sunday off the coast of the island of Gran Canaria, according to a report by Reuters. A fishing craft had spotted the illegals' dinghy and notified the Spanish Coast Guard, which then rescued them. The Spanish Coast Guard took them to the port city of Arguineguín. The Red Cross, which took the migrants into custody, reported that all of them were male and from sub-Saharan African countries. 35 are believed to be under the age of 18. Red Cross staff wearing protective gear took their temperatures as a Wuhan coronavirus precaution. Now, are these genuine refugees? Well, no, it's bogus. All of them male. Now, real refugees send the women and the children first, and the old man, and maybe the odd young man to help take care of them. No, these are illegals. In fact, they are invaders. Spain's Ministry of the Interior has reported that illegal migration to the Canaries is up nearly 700% this year compared to the same period last year. As of the end of April, 1,936 illegals had arrived there. Last year, there were only 243. Spain has been cracking down on human traffickers who smuggle illegals into the country. Earlier this year, Spanish authorities arrested 26 people suspected of being human traffickers. And these people, well, I don't know what will happen to them, but they should be put in jail for a very long time. And the proceeds of their activities should be seized from them. In a different response, in a different response to this online, I noted that Spain, which was hard hit by the Wuhan flu or coronavirus, you can recover from sickness, but you cannot recover from a massive foreign invasion. It will it will change your country forever. And the clear point of this, the clear result, if not the plan, and I say there's a plan because there are powerful forces within Europe and people like Open Borders, George Soros, who apparently funds a lot of this, or funds some of it. There are there are forces at work with the clear goal of pulling major demographic change on Europe, replacing the indigenous European people. It's genocide on the installment plan. So in a way, the invasion by illegals is actually worse than the damage done by the coronavirus. Here is relatively newcomer on the whole Wuhan flu controversy and whether this really is the tremendous threat that epidemiologists like Neil Ferguson in the United Kingdom have said that he convinced the British leaders and certainly the American and Canadian leaders that if nothing was done, there could be millions of deaths. Well, but even if something was done, it could still be catastrophic. It turns out, maybe not so. Perhaps your most vicious interview yet, targeting the rampant career fraud of Dr. Anthony Fauci, whistleblower and pioneer virologist Dr. Judy Mikovits, dissects Fauci during another epic and exclusive interview with the Thomas Paine Broadcasting. Fauci, the White House so-called medical guru on coronavirus, quickly went from Capitol Hill hero to medical zero after testifying Tuesday in a sham Senate hearing that better resembled a vaccine pep rally than an impartial hearing on coronavirus. Mikovits, who originally launched her now snowballing public relations blitz against Fauci and the D.C. medical establishment, returned on Wednesday to continue her mission to dismantle the embattled Dr. Fauci. And we're going to play a little bit of that for you now. This is... This is Dr. Judy Mikovits.
Thomas Paine podcast number 23. And we made it. 23 episodes, plus we got a bunch of these daily Pain in the Morning episodes underneath our belt. We have an important message today, a number of important messages during an important time. Trying to rise to the occasion here. We're breaking some news today. You bet your ass on it. What else is new, right? Around here. Jumping right into it. Let's go. Off to the races. A lot of stuff going on. We got a good interview today. Be dropping some bombs on Fauci and that whole crew, Gates and all these folks who are bad news. And we've explained it on here a number of times. And we're going to revisit with more disturbing information about these people. And also a good insight into how these trapped rats behave when you box them into a corner. And what they do, they act like rats. That tells you that they're institutional animals. Political animals who play dirty. The Fauci crowd, the Gates, these guys, it's unbelievable. So. You see this sham Senate hearing they had? Senate hearing was like a joke. Nobody asked any biting questions. Nobody from the Senate asked anything that was really important. Why is this microphone sounding like shit? I don't understand this. Been talking into this thing for hours now. The More Pain Show on patreon.com/truepundit. Then I did the Pain in the Morning Show, and now I'm doing the front end of this podcast because I wait till the last minute so we can discuss breaking news. If any applies, and there is some that applies, we'll get to in a minute, but something that broke Tuesday night, right before I started yapping on Patreon. These guys, though, are problematic, and really incredible what they've done. What they've gotten away with, what they continue to get away with. This sham Senate hearing I was just mentioning. Supposed to be a hearing. It basically was a PR stunt to make you feel warm and fuzzy about more freedoms being taken away for the next several months, which is always fun. King Fauci was on full display from his home lair. Everybody was at home during this farce on their Skype link-ups, probably. You know, some of these guys look like they had the AOL dial-up mode. U.S. congressmen, don't worry about it. U.S. senators, they even have internet at home. What the hell's going on here? Nobody asked Fauci a very basic question, and I've mentioned this again a couple times, but it's something Jason dropped on me the other day. Where'd you come up with the figure that 2.2 million Americans were going to die from coronavirus? Where did that figure come up? Nobody. It's like they kept throwing this midget softballs all day. Then he's saying, oh, well, you know, I don't think schools are going to be able to open next year. What? Who elected this fucking guy? I didn't. Why is this dope talking at all? Now, Trump did a good job in the last 2 weeks, like we said, hiding this guy and keeping him away from the microphone. I mean, this guy thinks he's the king of America. What is going on? I don't get it. This guy must have some J. Edgar Hoover level dirt on everybody in D.C. because he's still has a job for some reason. The guy's a tyrant. I think he's an arch criminal based on information that we've been developing and we've been putting out there. I don't know anybody who's been hammering this guy as hard as we have been hammering. I mean, it's had some effect. I mean, the White House had to take a step away from the guy. And rightly so. I don't know why it took him so long. I don't know what kind of information Trump is getting. He should be reading our site on a regular basis instead of some of these other dopes in the right-wing media.
Well, I thought this man would get around to the interview, but I think this may have been a bit of a mistake. Here's a great T-shirt that came my way yesterday. The man's wearing this. It's red background with white letters. Don't expect COVID-19 to last. It was made in China. And you have to kind of think about that for a moment. But I really like that. I think it makes a very strong point. There's another picture, because it's widespread concern that many of the deaths that are attributed to coronavirus, that the numbers are being artificially inflated by the simple tactic of attributing to coronavirus the death of anybody who has had it or has it. Here's a fellow who is perhaps injured, perhaps not. There's been an accident, and he's gone through the windshield of the car, and a reporter has come up to him and asking, "Sir, can you tell us how you got COVID-19?" Kind of playing on the fact that there's been a well, there's it's a bit of a scam. I was talking to Brian Root and the Weekly, and it's now the sixth week in a row. Weekly, no more lockdowns protest in Vancouver attracted about 300 and some people outside the constituency office of the health minister, Adrian Dix, in Burnaby, which is a suburb of Vancouver. And it was a spirited crowd, a lot of good speeches, and it forms part of a trend right across the country of protests, weekend after weekend. As I reported the other day, we had the fourth in a row in Toronto on Saturday. There was a protest in Kelowna the same day, and talking to the leader of that protest, Dave Lindsay, and Dave was explaining that they had about 45 people out. That's twice as many as 10 days before. The first one was on May the 6th in Kelowna. I was there, and in coordination with some other people, they decided to move the weekly protests to Saturday. And so the first Saturday occurred this past weekend and attracted a little over 40 people, and they're planning one for next Saturday with the same thing. Numbers are growing, and this time they marched from Stewart Park, which is just opposite City Hall, a few blocks away to where Highway 97, which is the main thoroughfare into Kelowna, crosses the Lake Okanagan, and on the bridge. And as cars came off the bridge, the protesters were there, and apparently they got a lot of honks and favorable thumbs up and so on. You know, of course, the odd person doesn't agree with this, but here's a story. You have to parse this a little bit. They're now in a huge flap over attacks on Chinese, particularly in Vancouver. Racial attacks, hate crimes, and so on. Well, you want to cut through a little bit of the rhetorical exaggeration. Most of these are not attacks in the sense that somebody's beaten up. People make a comment, "Oh, that's racist." Well, again, one would like specifics. Well, exactly what was said? Before I start slapping labels on it, Chinese people have something to answer for. Now, not all Chinese follow the filthy habits of the wet markets that are popular on mainland China. Wet markets where livestock is alive and killed on the spot. But more particularly, wild animals of all sorts. Civet cats, are they a little cat that fishes in the rivers of China, the ones that aren't so polluted that the poor thing would die. Bats, snakes, frogs, I mean all sorts of stuff. Why? And the problem with storing live animals, which are traumatized, of course, is that they are urinating and defecating, sometimes bleeding, and in close quarters, the offal, or urine and defecation, passes to other animals, and viruses spread, sometimes animal to animal, but what has happened in several cases, including SARS 17 years ago, and the Wuhan flu this, you know, late last year, is the jumps to the human species, and that's how we get these flus. Anyway, not all Chinese practice that culture, but I think some Chinese really do have something to answer for. I think that's fair. And as I said when I in my commentary on remarks made by Canadian rock star Ryan Adams last week, when he, in a kind of a obscenity-filled little blast, said that the filthy habits of the wet markets, people want to eat bats, and people want to profit from that, has given the world this coronavirus, which is which has cost a fortune in lives and in money, in damaged economies, and which cost him a problem that it canceled his gig at the Royal Albert Hall in London. And, of course, the Chinese lobby in Canada, led by a militant ex-Hong Konger, Amy Goh, said it's racist, 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 racist. Terrible thing. And it was occasioning attacks on Chinese people. Well, of course, there's no evidence that Brian Adams' opinion. He wasn't telling people to go out. In fact, he didn't even mention race. He didn't even mention the country that it caused attacks on anybody. But instead of ranting about racism, I suggest it would have been a lot better had she said, well, you know, some Chinese people are responsible for this horrible Wuhan flu, or the filthy practices. But many Chinese want to do better. And in fact, the people on the island of Taiwan, who are Chinese, spotted this virus on the mainland, shut their borders, took strict measures, and it's now pretty much business as usual, and they've had very few deaths. So it's not all Chinese. But instead of taking the responsible position and owning up to a degree of responsibility and saying, well, look, we as a people will try harder. No, to criticize anything Chinese is to be a racist. Okay, well, that's all way of a background. And of course, the anti-free speech lobby and the pro-red Chinese lobby have made a lot of noise about all the supposed persecution the Chinese are facing. Here's the story. Indigenous, now that means Indian. Indigenous woman assaulted over COVID-19. Police in Vancouver are investigating after an Indian woman said she was mistaken for an Asian and punched for sneezing. You can't make this stuff up. The assault took place near Fraser Street in East 33rd Friday afternoon. Friday evening. Sergeant Aaron Rowan confirmed that it was being treated as a hate crime. That what that means in Canada is if the person is convicted of assault, apparently a man punched this woman in the face because she sneezed at him. Or anyway, if it's proven that he punched her not because she sneezed, but because she was, well, he mistook her for for a Chinese. Well, then he'll get additional punishment, you see. It's not the punch that is the crime, it's your motive. And what this it does is essentially criminalize ideas. Now, you've got to follow this carefully. Quote, the victim did have minor physical injuries and did not need medical treatment the night of the incident, Sergeant Rowan said. Remember that. The victim did have minor physical injuries and did not require need medical treatment. So, maybe a bruise, right? So it wasn't a broken nose, it wasn't a broken cheekbone, it wasn't even a cut. So far, they're looking for the assailant. The victim was identified as Dakota Holmes, an employee with the Union of BC Indian Chiefs. The union said that Holmes was walking her dog when she sneezed due to seasonal allergies. A nearby man described as being Caucasian overheard the sneeze and began yelling racist slurs about Asian people and COVID-19 before punching Holmes in the head. Well, it'd be nice to know, well, what exactly did he say? It was Asians, travelers from Wuhan, that brought the coronavirus to Canada. But that's not a slur. That's the truth. But we're not privileged to know exactly what he said. And then he punched her in the face. I'm sharing my story to get the message out there that racism is a deadly and sobering threat, and every single instance of racism must be addressed and called out by all of us so that it stops, Holmes said in a statement. Okay, so let's see. That racism is a deadly and sobering threat. Deadly threat. What happened to her? Supposedly, the man punched her in the face, or maybe hit her in the face, but not so severely enough. She didn't require medical treatment. So let's back off the drama for a moment. It wasn't deadly. The man probably thought she had deliberately sneezed around him, and as part of this hysteria over the Wuhan flu, reacted. I don't agree with hitting somebody, but that's what he did. When the man yelled at her to go back to Asia, Holmes said she tried to tell him she was indigenous, but the verbal and physical assault continued. The physical assault, you mean he continued to hit her in the face? I don't think so. then the drama continues. As an indigenous woman, I'm acutely aware that sexism and racism often intersect and are part of my life, and I never take chances for my safety. So racism and sexism. How did sexism get into this? She sounds like a militant social justice warrior that is conflating what might be. And apparently we only have her word for it that the assault even took place. It sounds to me like a man made a remark, and she wants to exaggerate that into an assault, but be that as it may. And she goes on to say, it is a traumatizing incident, but because I'm indigenous, it's sad to say, but I'm kind of used to this behavior. It's hard to get through, though. But, you know, it's just another day in my life. Oh, wait a sec here. It was a traumatizing incident. But because I'm indigenous, it's sad to say, but I'm kind of used to this behavior. What, being beaten? Is that what she's saying? Well, but she's not being beaten by white men. If she is being beaten, if she's used to this behavior, being assaulted, almost certainly she's being beaten by fellow Indians, because there's widespread violence in among Indian men and women. There's much noise about the higher percentage of Indian women are murdered than white women. And an RCMP investigation, a report back in 2014, analyzed all the murders of Indian women from 1981 to 2014. Well over 1,100, I believe. And found that in 75% of the cases, the assailant, the killer, was a fellow Indian. Usually a husband, a live-in, a boyfriend, a common law, and incidentally, in over 75% of the cases, abuse of drugs or alcohol was involved. So it's kind of changes the picture. It isn't white men roaming the streets trying to find a native woman to beat up. Most of the assaults and the murders are perpetrated by fellow Indians. So that's kind of important. Anyway, she's saying she's used to this behavior, but the premier of the province, John Horgan, who's a socialist, says people are being targeted as they go about their daily lives. It's unacceptable. I've said it before, hate has no place in the province, and it will not be tolerated. Our strength is in our diversity, and we reject all forms of racism, discrimination, intolerance, and bigotry. Oh, aren't you a good leftist there? All forms of discrimination. Oh, yeah, really? They've got employment equity firms that give preference to natives. We've got federal laws that exempt Indians from most hunting and fishing regulations. Call that discrimination, wouldn't you? The government will pay the tuition of an Indian student to go to university. They get free education. White people don't. Talk about racism or discrimination. You will not be tolerated. That's just BS. And of course, they always come back to their mantra, diversity is our greatest strength. Yeah, really? Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side. I mean, let's change the pace a little bit. I'm going to play some tunes by the man who brought the California country song to Nashville in the 1960s, and a performer for many years on the old TV hee-haw program, the man from Bakersfield, Buck Owens. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on Alt-Right TV.
They're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make a big star out of me. We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can't never tell. Cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come see me in the movie, and I know that you will plainly see. Biggest fool that's ever hit the big time, and all I gotta do is act naturally. Gonna live here again. singing that I was gonna live here again. I hear bees humming and I know the days are coming that I was gonna live here again. That I was gonna live here. That I was gonna live here. That I was gonna live here.
I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a
come true. And my heart skips a beat when we walk down the street. I feel a trembling in my knees. And just to know you're mine till the end of time makes my heart skip a beat. Together again, my tears have stopped falling. The long, lonely nights are now at an end. The key to my heart you hold in your hand, and nothing else matters. We're together again. Again, the gray skies have gone. You're back in my arms. Now where you belong, the love that I knew is living again, and nothing else matters. We're together again, and nothing else matters. We're together again.
This is Paul Crum, you're on the Fighting Sodomy. Back with you again tomorrow, and I sign out tonight as I always do with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Crum, and you're on the Fighting Sodomy here on AltRightTV.com.
In days of yore from Britain's shore, Wolfe, Saddam, first hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple. lead forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless, the maple leaf forever.